Luke 5 and verse number 27. And it's amazing the Lord would lead us to this man and this passage this time of year. Because some of y'all, if you're like me, you've been thinking about this already with this time of year. Luke 5 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And after these things he went forth," talking about the Lord Jesus, "and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of the custom, and he said unto him, Follow me." Now wait a second, let's hold on just for a second before we read the rest. What is a publican? We don't use the word publican today. Look, there's a publican's office. You know, we don't say that today. People say, what is that? Politician? Publisher? You know, publican? What is that? Publican is a what? Tax collector. Amen. They are, if you will, the IRS. Amen. They are the sort of the H&R Block, right? Sort of speak, if you will. The IRS, the tax collector, if you will. Uncle Sam, amen, if you will. You think about, they had tax collectors. And the thing that I was looking up a little bit and studying on that was amazing, if you look up that word publican in Levi and you study on it a little bit, this man evidently come from a family that this is what they did. They were publicans. They were tax collectors. But it also has the idea in that word publican of the fact concerning the farmers. In other words, because when you were farming back then, things were a lot different, right? But if you think about it, they had to take and get taxes from them, from the goods they were selling, trading, getting things off of. It wasn't always in cash monetary form. Amen. When they were taking, they would get a bunch of cows or raise a bunch of crop of some sort, and they would trade it with some, and they just had all this coming in, if you will, this abundance. They had to take and give some taxes. Give me 100 pounds of that hay. Amen, if you will. You see what I'm saying? You need to pay your taxes on all that, right? That you're growing, all these types of things. And so you think about, here was the publican, the tax collector, if you will, that Jesus passed by this man one day, if you will, this publican. And where was he at and what he was doing? What was he doing? He was sitting at the receipt of custom. In other words, he was taking and working. Amen. He was at his place of business. He was there doing his job. He was on the clock, Brother Gary. He was there on the clock working. They were coming to the place they knew they needed to come to, where the tax collector was, where the IRS office was. Amen. They were taking and coming there and saying, "Hey, I want to pay my taxes." And here, no, want, that's a bad word, right? I got to pay my taxes. I'm here because I got to be. Amen. It ain't a place I want to go to, although if you don't go, you will wish you would went. Amen. And you would have wanted to go. But anyway, later on. But you think about the fact, here he was collecting taxes, just working, you know, about his business, collecting taxes, doing that type of thing. And here he was, the Lord passes by, the Lord takes and he looks down at him and he says two words to him, "Follow me." Now think about that. Let's say tomorrow I'm at work at Bilo, my other job, amen, although this ain't a job, this is a calling. But I'm there at the other place working, I'm there. And all of a sudden, somebody walks by and says, "Hey, follow me." Think about that. That's what happened to this man. Amen. Where do you want me to follow you? To the produce? To help you find those tomatoes or something like that? You know, you want me to follow me? I want to show you this out-of-date product over here. You know, whatever. Follow me. I want to show you there's water on the floor. You know, those types of things I get all the time. But that's not what happened here. They said, "Follow me." The Lord wanted him to take and drop what he was doing, clock out, if you will, and take and leave and do what the Lord wanted him to do. Think about that. That's this place that this publican was in. This was the family business, I believe. And notice the next verse. And he what? The three words. Left all. He left all. I marked that in my Bible. Rose up and followed him. Think about this morning. Here he was. He took and he dropped what he was doing. Verse 29, read a few verses. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. So he followed the Lord, but the Lord took him to his own house. I never noticed that before. I thought that was interesting. He dropped what he was doing at work. He followed the Lord and he went to his house. And he took and made the Lord a big old meal. Amen. A big old feast, if you will, while he was there. And the Bible says, and there was a great company of what? Publicans. So it's lunchtime. I don't know, it probably wasn't lunchtime, but you know, get the point. It's lunchtime at his house. All the publicans are over for lunch. Amen. All the tax collectors are there for lunch. And here's Jesus in the middle of them at a great feast after he's just told this man to follow him. He follows him to his house, gets a big meal together. Here's all these publicans around, and we know the publicans were not liked, right? They had a bad reputation. A lot of times they would take more than what they should, just like I think our people do sometimes today. Amen. But they take more than what they should. And they had a bad reputation. Nobody liked them. But here they were sitting around all these people. A lot of times they were crooked, we know, in the things that they did do back then. And he made a great feast. There was all these other publicans that sit down with them. And then verse 30, it says, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and," here's another key word, "sinners." Why in the world is Jesus having this great feast, eating here with all these tax collectors, Brother Gary, and all these sinners, Brother Brent? What in the world is he doing? It's different if he's with his disciples. It's different if he's having dinner on the ground with the church folk, amen, after service on Saturday, Sabbath, amen, you know. It's a little different. But that's not what's going on here. Here he is with these publicans and sinners. "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, I think about that just for a second. Here they are, all these tax collectors sitting around, the sinners. The scribes, Pharisees are over there watching, murmuring, saying, "Hey, you know who's down at that man, that publican's house, Jesus is, and he's down there eating with them publicans and sinners and all that." They're watching and they're murmuring behind them as they're eating and doing their things. And then the thing that's interesting to me is Jesus' response to them. Because he says, "They that are whole need not a physician." In other words, we'd say those that are healthy, right? Those that are not having any issues, they don't need to go to the doctor. Well, unless you're going for your physical nowadays, but I'll leave that alone, right? Your checkups. But they don't have no need of going to the doctor, right? Everything's healthy, everything's fine. "But they that are sick." So in other words, Jesus was saying what? He was saying, these people that I'm eating with, they sick. Right? Am I right? That's what he was saying. He said, hey, these people I'm with, they're not healthy. They got some problems. You're right. They're publicans, they're sinners. Jesus didn't deny anything that they said about that, did he? I don't see where he did. Instead, he said, you know what? A person don't need to go to the doctor if they're feeling good. Amen. And don't some of y'all take that too far. Said, Pastor said, I didn't need to go for my physical. I'm doing good. I don't need to have that colonoscopy done. I'm doing good. Amen. I don't need to have all these procedures done. I don't need to go get the blood work done. I'm good. I didn't say that now. I'm talking about this, something different this morning. But simply the fact that here he said, you don't need to go. But the people that are sick, so Jesus is implying the fact here clearly that, hey, guess what? These people that I'm with, I need to be here. Why? Because they're sick. Because they have got problems. They've got issues. They're sick. Yes, they are, if you will, sinners. And then Jesus makes the statement here that kind of, if you will, makes clear what he's saying. He says in verse 32, a good verse, "I came not to call the righteous." In other words, those that are doing right or healthy, if you will, to use what he was saying in the verse before, that are whole, if you will, that have been saved, we would say, amen, that do believe in the Lord. But who did he come to call? Sinners to repentance. Amen. In other words, those that are sin sick. Amen. Those that need the Savior, those that need the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't believe on Him. He came to those, to the evil, to the wicked. Amen. To the sinners is who He came for. He came this morning. And so we see here, if you will, that the Lord took and He took and called Levi. As He walked by, He said, "Take, drop what you're doing and follow Me." And He got up and He left His business. That's the second point this morning. Not only sometimes to leaving to serve do we have to leave, if you will, our family, but sometimes we have to leave our business. Sometimes we have to leave our business. I'm not saying today that y'all need to go out and quit y'all's jobs tomorrow. Don't take this wrong. Amen. I wish I could do that myself. Amen. I'd love to be able to walk in the morning and quit my job. But then about a few days later, I'd really regret it. When the bills started coming due and I needed to buy some food and didn't have no money. Amen. I'd start regretting it. I'm not saying just leave your place of business. Don't get this wrong this morning. But this man, he was getting ready to have a new path in his life. He was getting ready to have a new career, if you will, in his life. He had a new calling in his life. Amen. He had a calling from the Lord to take and to go and to follow Him full time, going the places Jesus went, going the places Jesus was, amen, and helping to share the gospel message. You think about here this man was, he was leaving these things behind is what the Lord asked him to do, and he dropped it and he went. When the Lord calls us into His ministry, there will be something, some things, and sometimes some people that we might have to take and leave behind. There's sometimes some things. Usually when we're going to serve the Lord, there's some things we got to kind of set on the back burner. There's some things that we got to leave behind a little bit. You think about, there's some things in my life when the Lord called me to preach. There was some things, some sins. There was some things that standards, some different things like that in my life that the Lord spoke to my heart about and said, if you're going to serve me, you got to take and leave those things behind you. If not, they're going to hinder you. They're going to hurt you in doing what I want you to do. You think about simply today, we've got to be willing to leave some things behind this morning. Willing to leave behind for the Lord. Leave behind some things, if you will, of business. I think about today, that's why some people will never come to the house of God on Sundays. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I know it's a touchy situation, but I'm just being honest. Some people say, well, I got to work every Sunday. And usually I don't jump on people when they say that. I know some people have to work, unfortunately, the way things are nowadays. But I usually ask another question. I say, do you work Sunday nights? Well, I get off work at 5. Well, church starts at 6. Right? Am I right or wrong? Then they'll say, well, I don't know, I'm tired after that. Well, okay. Well, what about Wednesdays? We have Wednesday night church too. What do you work on Wednesdays? I get off at 5. Guess what? We don't start at 7. You got 2 more hours. You got another extra hour, amen, before we start. I'm simply saying tonight that sometimes it involves leaving some things behind to serve the Lord. Amen. Maybe it might be the lazy boy. Maybe it might be the TV for a little while. Amen. Maybe it might be the fishing pole for a little bit. Amen. Maybe it might be the ball game on TV. I thought about the family thing. Maybe it might be that your family is like mine is at times, and used to be especially, and we might have to take, at least certain ones, and we might have to take, and they say, I always want to get together on Sunday during church time. I can't do that. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be in the Lord's place. You can come to church and then we can be together, amen, if you will. But thinking about this morning, sometimes we need to leave some things behind this morning. And sometimes that may be the business. Today, this is not to say, don't take this wrong, that a pastor, that a missionary, maybe even in some cases, that an evangelist cannot have a secular job. Amen. We can take and look in the Bible today, bivocational, the word we use, and I don't really like that, but because this ain't a vocation, it's a calling. But anyway, people want to use that term, if you will, but yet Paul was that way. Amen. Paul didn't just take and go around preaching and teaching all the time and do anything else. Amen. What else did he do? He made tents. Amen. He had a business. He had his own business. He had his own business. He went around selling tents and selling those things to make the ends meet, if you will, to take care of his needs. And the same thing today sometimes is necessary, if you will. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But we must remember to keep in the forefront what the priority is. Amen. What the priority is, just like we talked about earlier, if you will, with our family. We're called today to do what, and the ministry, serving the Lord is the most important thing. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. There's a couple of good verses here in script here of Scripture, but I want to read one verse in particular. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, and we'll just read verse number 8. We really could take the time to read verses 1 through 8 if you want to look at all of them later. But just skip down to verse number 8, if you will. It says, yea, doubtless, Paul here, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win who? Christ. In other words, in verse 7 is another good verse that ties in with it, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for what? Christ. Amen. In other words, Paul's saying there's some things I had to lose. May I say it this way? I'm not changing the words of the Bible here because they don't need to be changed. But I think what Paul is saying here, there's some things I lost that I might gain. May I say that I believe that's exactly what I'm trying to say this morning. Amen. Is that sometimes there's some things we have to leave behind, lose, that we might gain, do what God wants us to do in serving Him. Amen. Simply the same thing that Paul did in his life. And he said, hey, I left some things that I might take and win Christ and do what Christ would have me to do in my life. He said, I've suffered some loss in my life of all things, if you will. I don't know, y'all probably don't remember this, but I have a note here in my Bible. We preached these verses a long time ago. I don't know when, but it was a long time back. And the title of the message was Losing to Win. Amen. Sometimes we have to lose some things that we might win. Amen. For the Lord Jesus Christ and do what He would have us to do. That's what we're simply talking about. Sometimes we got to leave some things behind if we're going to take and serve Him the way He would have us to. The third thing, Hebrews chapter number 12, the last point this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you will. Hebrews 12, and notice verse number 1. A familiar verse of Scripture, Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. We see this morning that leaving to serve, sometimes we have to leave family. Sometimes we may have to leave business. But third, and I believe this is always the case, no doubt, if we're going to take and serve the Lord, something that we have to leave. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, sounds like leaving something, right, if you lay it aside, every weight and the what? Sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, simply Paul's saying here that simply sometimes there's some things that we're going to have to take and lay aside, amen, those weights in our lives, and sometimes we're going to have to take and lay aside what? Those sins in our lives, amen, that easily beset us. We're going to have to take and lay aside some sin, and then he says, and that we might run with patience the race that is set before us, amen. In other words, that we're going to have to leave some things behind, specifically here, our sin, amen. May I say today the last thing, if we're going to leave to serve the Lord, we've got to take and leave our sin behind, amen. I'm not talking about being sinless this morning. We all know that we're in the flesh, we're sinners, amen. Until one day when I get to heaven and I get my new body and I'm made perfect, I'm going to sin. I'm going to do wrong. You will too. But we talked about not sinless, but sinning less, amen, if you will. Getting the Lord's help to get victory over some things in our lives, amen. When we do wrong, be like David and confess those things to God. Have that man after God's own heart of when we do wrong, we cry before God. We weep. We really see our sin as God sees it. We repent of those things. Ask God to help us and turn from those things. Today, if we're going to serve the Lord, it's going to involve leaving sin and living holy, if you will, clean, pure lives, if we're to fully serve God and do what He'd have us to do today. It's going to take involving leaving behind some sinful habits in our lives. You think, why? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, because it's sin, amen, and it's wrong, and we ought to be leaving it behind, period. But the big reason why is because, especially if you're trying to serve God, what's the first thing that's going to happen when you try to witness to somebody, especially that halfway knows you, and you're trying to witness to or share the gospel with, invite them to church, what's the first thing they're going to do? Say, well, you ain't no better than me, you do this. I just heard you over there telling that person off and using four-letter words and everything else. You talking just like me. You acting just like me. You just lost your temper, told somebody off, smacked them upside the head, amen, and walked out. You know, whatever. You get the point. You're no different than me. You go the same places I do. You do the same things I do. What's the difference? Amen. That's the first thing the devil will throw up in your face when you try to serve the Lord. Is those things in our lives. May the Lord help us to live clean, pure, holy lives that we might shine the light that the Lord would have us to. I think about the old children's song, but yet it's an adult song too, as all children's songs really are. about taking our light and letting it shine. Amen. Not taking it, hiding it under a bushel. Amen. You know what happens if you hide a light under a bushel? Based off what I see in the Bible, the light don't go out. If you're saved, you're saved. But if you hide the light under the bushel, guess what you do? The light is dimmer to everybody else than what it is if the bushel ain't there. It's not covered up. It's not hid. Let it shine. Set it on a hill that it might be seen. Amen? You think about today, that's what we do a lot of times. When I take and act out and show myself and act the way I shouldn't a lot of times, and people see sin or things in my life and the way I do day in and day out, sometimes we all do things we shouldn't every now and again. But when it's a habit, when it's a routine, when it's an everyday, all the time, constant thing, there's something wrong there. I'm taking and just, that light is just being squelched. That light is just being hid. Amen. Don't hide it under a bushel. Amen. You think about this morning, we should take and leave those things behind, those sinful habits, those things, if we're going to serve the Lord the way that He would have us to, that He might use us fully. Amen. That He might use us. I'm not saying God can't use you, but God can use anybody. Amen. He used the donkey. Amen. We know that. That donkey talked. Amen. If God did that, He can use anybody. Amen. And anything. I know that. I believe that. But I'm talking about if we really want to be used of God the way He desires, there's some things we need to leave behind this morning. And one of those is our sin. Our sin, we need to leave those things behind. They'll hurt us in serving the Lord and being the example before others that we ought to be. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I think about sometimes I say, Lord, help me. I look in the mirror and I see some things in my own life. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12. We need to leave some things behind. Leave family, leave business, leave sin. And this verse, I think, kind of sums everything up. And especially this last point that we were talking about this morning. As Paul's talking to Timothy, he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. He says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In other words, live your life the way a believer ought to live their life. Amen. Be an example. In word. That's in the things that we say. Amen. Our words that we use. In conversation. That's speaking about our whole lifestyle. Amen. The way that we live our lives every day. And also our conversations as we think of them. In charity. In other words, in love, we ought to be setting the example. Amen. We ought to be loving more than the lost world shows love to somebody. Amen. We ought to be showing the example in charity, in love. In spirit. Amen. We ought to be different in our spirit. Christians ought to. You say, well, and I hate to put it this way, but that's kind of a, well, yeah, duh thing. Amen. You say, why? Because we got the Holy Spirit of God living within us. If we're saved, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be walking in the Spirit like we talk about, living the Spirit, amen, showing others His Spirit in us, amen, and be an example in that, in the Spirit, if you will, in our lives, in our spirit that we have, amen, because of the Spirit that lives within us, our spirit, our attitude, our heart, our actions, all these things ought to be different. In faith, showing them what faith is, amen. Showing them, being an example of what faith really is. Amen. I think about, I can't remember the exact quote. I should have wrote it down. Of course, I was driving. I couldn't really write it down. But the other day, I was driving down the road, and all y'all probably are familiar with Bill Gaither. And his wife had a quote that somebody, he gave a quote the other day that, her name just left me, the Goodman lady, Vestal Goodman. And she had a lot of good quotes. But one of the quotes that she said, although I don't agree with her on everything, one of the quotes that he said, and I'm going to get it partly wrong, that she said, he said, Vestal would always say this, Christians are to live their lives by faith, not by fear. And that's true, amen? We're to live our lives by faith, be an example in faith. Notice the last part it says, in purity, amen? We ought to live pure lives. That speaks of in every way that we could get into this morning. We ought to live our lives pure. Notice the last one, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, specifically talking about ministry here, if you will. But simply today, I believe if we're going to serve the Lord, all of us are called to serve Him. Amen? In some way or another. But is there some things that we need to take in our lives and maybe leave behind this morning so we can serve Him better? I just named three things. But there's a whole lot more things we could get into that sometimes we have to take and leave behind that can hinder us in doing what the Lord wants us to do. May the Lord help us today to take and leave some things behind that He calls us to. You say, Pastor, I don't know if there's anything in my life that maybe I need to leave behind that the Lord's calling me to. I don't really know. I ain't never really maybe even thought about it, or hadn't thought about it lately. You say, I'm not sure. Well, may I encourage you to do something this morning? Ask the Lord. Ask Him. Say, Lord, is there something in I want to serve You, Lord. Is there something in my life today that I need to take and leave behind, set on the back burner, amen, that I might take and serve You better the way You'd have me to? Ask Him. You think about today, what are we needing to leave behind for the Lord? Is the Lord Lord of all in our lives? If the Lord today has revealed something to you in your life that you need to take and leave behind, I encourage you to do it. If you say today, I'm not sure, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about taking and just asking Him. Amen. And you know what I found? When you take and you start asking the Lord about things like this in your life, spiritual things, Lord, help me with this, show me this. You know what God will do? He'll show you. He'll show you. Amen. He will show you. He has showed me many times, and He'll show you too. Let's pray.